Hey, it's Sam Alai here, founder of My Legal Academy, where we help lawyers scale and automate their law firms so they could sign up more clients and reclaim their precious time. If you're looking to grow your practice while working less, click the link in the show notes to book a free call to discover a radically different way to grow your law firm. Enjoy the episode.
In this episode, we are going to dive into the Good Old Boys Club, the club that has dominated law for generations, and in my opinion, is gasping its last breath. Women aren't just witnessing its demise, they're actively engineering it. Today, we're going to explore how the legal landscape is being fundamentally reshaped by women who refuse to play by the outdated rules. This isn't about fighting for a seat at the old table. It isn't about working towards reform. It's about building entirely new structures of power, influence, and client development. The most successful women in law aren't trying to break into the good old boys network. They're creating superior alternatives that are making those traditional power structures increasingly irrelevant. Today, our guest, Stacey Brown Randall, has revolutionized how professionals build their businesses through strategic referral generation and without the awkward asking, networking, or manipulation that defines traditional business development. She's helped countless female attorneys create powerful client acquisition systems that bypass the good old boys club entirely. And she's here to share how women are leading the next era through authentic relationship building rather than golf course deals. Let's dive in. Welcome, Stacey. We're super excited to have you. Before we dive in, I want to give you a second to introduce yourself and tell us exactly what you're working on right now.
Yes, thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be here. I teach business owners, particularly in the professional services firms, how to generate referrals without having to ask for them. So I spend my days, sometimes I feel like I'm just reminding people how to be a good person, but the rest of the time helping folks understand how to generate referrals in a way that respects relationships and honors the science behind referrals. So I'm the author of Generating Business Referrals Without Asking. I host a podcast called Roadmap to Referrals. And the big project that I'm currently working on, when not, of course, helping my clients, is trying to get my second book out into the world, which will come out this October. So that's taking up most of my time and energy.
I feel like that's the thing. Like, I always say that to myself. Like, I feel like that's something I've been saying I wanted to do for like 6 years, but it seems like it takes a lot of work.
It's interesting. There's lots of different ways to get a book out there into the world. For me, I can't put something out there that I don't feel like is like the best representation of myself. So, you know, I went the publisher route and I have 4 editors on the book, on my second book that I'm working on now. And part of me is like, why did I want to do this? Like, I knew I wanted to be a better writer, but I was like, did I really want to? Like, is it really worth all of this? It is a ton of work, which is why my first book came out 6 years ago. And now the second book's coming out.
I love that. Okay. So the conversation today, like I always talk about, and I say this, and I don't want to like preface this by saying this is not a bad thing to say, but I came from an industry where, you know, the good old boys club was a thing. And unfortunately, I think it's still a thing in that industry. And then coming over to working with lawyers, I don't know why in my mind I thought that it wasn't a thing anymore. Like I thought this doesn't happen. And it does, clearly. It still exists. It's still prevalent. And I feel like wrapped in that is specific things that are traditional models and traditional ways people are still doing business and still feeling like they have to do business that way. So yeah. I know that you work, you know, across the board, not just, you know, with attorneys, but I'm super curious from you, like, what are the specific things that you observe that like is still in the traditional model that's should be relevant that still is, and then things that are actually becoming less relevant.
Yeah, you know, so it's interesting. And I don't know, from a relevancy perspective, it's just this is something that permeates. And it's not just with attorneys. And I do work with a lot of attorneys. I don't just see it in the legal industry. I see it in other industries too. But one thing that I think that permeates is this old school mentality of how you're supposed to generate referrals. And even though lawyers, I would say attorneys are usually, of all the industries I work in, they are more likely to refer business to another attorney. And some of that's because they have to do conflict checks. And some of that is because, like, it's like you're an attorney and you're people that know you just think you know every question under the sun that has anything to do with anything legal. And you're like, I'm a real estate attorney. Why are you asking me about your will or your trust, right? So I think a little bit has to do with that, that they're much better at the idea of referring clients or potential clients to other people because they can't always help everybody that shows up. But I think it's that idea that the way we make those relationships work, it's kind of rooted in that old school mentality, or that I have to make sure that people remember and I have to constantly remind them and I have to constantly be asking them and staying in front of them for them to refer me. And I think it's just a brute force way that people have been taught for decades of how to generate referrals. And what I found, and I've been doing this for 12 years now, what I have found in the work that I do is that when you really understand the science behind how and why referrals work, you realize how you don't have to do it that way. If you don't, that old school way, if you don't want to, that there is a better way and there is a different way to do it that is more about focusing on respecting relationships and being able to still be super successful with generating referrals and understanding that it can look different with that idea of understanding the science behind it and nurturing those relationships. I think when people realize that, it's kind of opened up the path for folks to say, oh, so referrals aren't a closed door for me because I don't want to like hit people over the head and remind them 30,000 times that they should actually be referring to me. There's a way to do it. But if you think about how referrals have been taught, it's because they come from a prospecting or a marketing mentality. And if you realize that referrals don't fit in prospecting, that's where the asking advice, paying for advice, which attorneys don't typically do, but other industries do, or networking all the time. If you know that, okay, referrals don't fit in prospecting, I'm not going to ask, I'm not going to pay, I'm not going to feel like I got to network all the time. And referrals, you realize they don't fit in marketing. I don't have to be promotionally gimmicky. They put in my email signature, the best compliment you can give me as a referral. What you're left with is the idea that, well, if referrals don't fit in prospecting or marketing, well, then they should fit in their own leg of the stool, right? We got prospecting, we got marketing and referrals, and they're all three good in their own ways. But you need all three of them. But how you handle referrals has to be different if you think about and you view referrals differently from prospecting and marketing. And so I feel like when I'm talking to somebody about referrals, I'm having to do a lot of re-educating and unlearning of like, yes, I know you've been told for, you know, 30 decades, it's got to be, or 3 decades or whatever, it's got to be done this way. But that's because you're looking at referrals in an old school mentality. Let's take referrals out of the typical business development two-stool approach of prospecting and marketing, and let's view it for what it is and understand the science behind it. And I think that's a big shift. I do a lot of like teaching in terms of understanding the science, understanding that shift, because once you grasp that, it makes sense that then your tactics and strategies would be different to generate referrals.
I think it's crazy too, because I don't think I ever would have used the word like the scientific part of it. I wouldn't think that there's a scientific piece to referrals, but I do think that that is super relevant to attorneys because their brains want to work that way. We want a reason why. If you can show me, you know, the analytical and the steps of why what you're saying to me actually made sense, then I think they're just more, you know, it's easier for them to then kind of engage and follow that. So that part is something I would not have thought of. But do you think that this is more of prevalent in women than it is in men, especially with attorneys? I know that a lot of women kind of feel pressure to stick with and adapt to those kind of traditional networking style, you know, ideas of what referrals mean. And then, you know, asking, you know, inherently sometimes the ask is the hardest part. So I just am curious as to like what you're seeing as it relates to that.
Yeah, I think that most female attorneys that I have opportunities to talk with, they get to the point of like, yes, this sounds better. This feels better. I get why this works. Usually like super fast because they have been put in positions they've been asked to do things that are just naturally, they're not inclined to want to do, right? But that doesn't mean I don't have that same reaction from male attorneys as well, right? There's just as many guy attorneys that are like, I don't want to do that either. Like, I don't want to be, you know, constantly reminding people you should be referring people to me. Like, I don't want to be begging for business either. So I don't necessarily see it like, oh, I work with more female attorneys than male attorneys. It's actually a pretty good split. But I do find that some get on board faster with the idea. And I would say a lot of times that sometimes the female attorneys, though not always, but sometimes the female attorneys, they get on board faster because it innately is in like rooted and grounded in how they want to show up and how they want to do business. There's a lot of guys out there that feel the exact same way, but I feel like sometimes they've been beaten over the head a little bit more with the, you know, the old boys club and things like that of how things have to be. And so they get it. They see it. It's just getting them to the place where they're like, I can do this differently and be successful. I once had an attorney who came to work. This was a number of years ago. She was a client for like 6 or 7 years. Her name's Catherine. She's amazing. And she's an attorney out of Maryland. But she came to me and she was like, I've done the sales training where I've been told that I have to get on the phone and I have to make cold calls and I have to demand the business and I have to ask for the referrals and demand that people refer me. And she was like, I am not a salesperson. I am an attorney and I don't want to act like anything but an attorney. She was like, and she had like a very visceral reaction to that type of training that she was told to do. She was like, I would leave almost every sales training almost in tears because that's not who I am and how I want to show up. And so it's like with anything. Right. It's like if you've been told you got to do it one way and you're like, I don't want to, then you have the opportunity then to look to see if there's another way to do it. I mean, it's how I built this entire business that I have is like, I'm not going to ask for referrals. That sounds awful. It's like asking me to cold call. They're like cousins asking for referrals and asking for cold calls. I'm like, no, I'm not going to do that. And so I just built another way. And of course, I had a lot of clients that are like, show me that way too. And that's how I built my business. But it's just, if asking, I always tell folks this, if asking works for you, great. You're like a unicorn. There's not a lot of you. But for the majority of folks, we want a way to generate referrals and not have to ask. And what drives me insane is that old school advice that's like, hey, if you won't ask, then you don't get. And I'm like, no, not with referrals. That's not the way it works.
Yeah, that brings me back to something my grandfather used to say when I was a kid, like, a squeaky wheel. If it doesn't squeak, you're not going to get it. And I'm like, oh, that doesn't apply to everything. Like it can't.
Not everything.
And I think when we talk about specifically when we talk about women, I think they're most that I speak to, they're open to obviously, like you're saying, doing things differently. I think the pushback comes from the uncomfortableness of, well, this is not the way we were taught to do it. This is not the way everyone else is doing it. And I think it's the getting them to, you know, take that leap of you can do everything in your business exactly the way you want to do it. And I think part of it, I laugh when I first started working with attorneys, I did not realize that when they go to law school, they are super good and they get super great at being an attorney. But when it comes to their business, they weren't taught any of that. So all they have to go on is if you had an old mentor that maybe you were, you know, you worked under a firm for, or just the very general advice that everyone's giving. And it's such an outdated structure and they just don't know what, you know, what direction to go in. I think that part of it evolving, I think will help obviously everything evolve. But I think when we're talking about referrals and we're talking about your specific expertise, how does your approach generally, you know, fundamentally differ from the traditional approach that especially lawyers have been taught?
Yeah. So, you know, the first thing I always tell folks is that we view where referrals fit differently in the business development or the sales strategy. So I mentioned earlier, most people see that the sales process, the sales strategy, when you're doing things to generate prospects that could become clients, you have prospecting and marketing and referrals have to fit in either of those two. And I'm like, no, it's not a two-legged stool. It's a three-legged stool. Referrals are separate. So the first thing that's different about what I teach is that how we look at referrals, we view it differently, which means, of course, then because our philosophy is different about referrals, then, of course, the strategies, the tactics, the language, everything we teach is different. The next thing is that we really do understand the science of referrals and we understand what ticks people off and what annoys people and what people will respond to. And we look at that from what's going on in the brain of a referral source when they're thinking about referring to you, and like how not important you are in the whole referral process, which usually blows people's mind. They're like, what do you mean? They're like, referring a client to me. I'm making money. Aren't I the most important person? And aren't they thinking about me when it's happening? I'm like, nope, they're not thinking about you. You're the byproduct. It's great that you're the byproduct. You're getting a client, but they're looking to help someone. And that's why they're referring them to you. So know your place. So that's what's happening in the brain from a brain science perspective. Then we look at obviously the psychology of trust, understanding the dynamics of social networks, and then also behavioral economics of like, what do you need to do to that you can stay on the radar, right? Or you can stay top of mind with people who can and are referring you, but doing it in a way that nurtures that relationship, right? And makes it more about them than about you. And so sometimes when I'm teaching people my strategies, I always tell them, I was like, I do a lot of like, I need you to unlearn what you think you're supposed to be doing. I need you to be willing to go a little bit slower and focus a little bit more on the other person and worry less about, are you going to get a referral from this exact conversation? Because that's not how referrals happen. The thing that people don't understand about referrals, and it's because there's a ton of misinformation out there for decades, is that it takes two things for a referral to happen. For someone to refer a client to you, they need desire and opportunity. The problem is that most people who teach referrals teach that you control both. You can control the desire and you can control the opportunity by always asking people. That's your trigger to get people to actually refer to you, is always asking, always emailing them, always reminding them, right? Always showing up in gimmicky and promotional ways to get them to refer you. So they teach that you can control the desire and you can control the opportunity. The reality of it is you only control desire. You don't control opportunity. Not if it's a real referral, not if it's a true referral where there's somebody who has a problem and wants to put money behind it by hiring an attorney to solve it, right? And so that what you control in that is the desire that I have to refer to you as the attorney. You're the attorney that I pick. I could pick 1,000 others just like you, right? And in most markets, even more than that. So why do I pick you to refer to, right? Why are you the M&A attorney that I refer to? Why are you the personal injury attorney I refer to? Why are you the wills and estate planning attorney that I refer to, right? That desire is all rooted in our relationship, and that you can control. What you can't control is how often I'm going to come across the opportunity to refer to you, which means you need to be strategic and who you're trying to cultivate as referral sources, because we're not trying to do a needle in a haystack here and like cultivate everybody. And I think those are kind of like the big things that make what I teach drastically different from what you're going to find out there. It's based on the science. It's based on where referrals fit as a third leg of the stool. And it's understanding desire and opportunity and what you can control and what you can't, and then doing your part, right, to control what you can. I mean, it reminds me of a panel that I sat on. I'm going to say this was like a year or two ago. I don't know exactly how long ago it was. Maybe it was 2 years ago. I sat on a panel. It was a business development panel, and it was me and a couple of other coaches that coach attorneys. And all of the question was asked about generating referrals, and they are all like, just ask. And here's the script, just ask. And here's the script. And they got to me and I'm like, don't you dare ask, because you're going to violate the science of referrals and you're going to impact negatively the relationship you have with the people who should be referring to you. It's just a different way of looking at it. And it's just a different way of it working. Both can work. I prefer the one that feels better. It's just a matter of what's going to be best for you, right? The attorney deciding how you want to go about generating referrals.
I think that pulls in with the, you know, now that you've explained it that way, with my question is going to be like, for women that are inherently uncomfortable with traditional self-promotion, like you said, traditional sales, traditional having to be that forceful in that aspect, I think obviously this particularly benefits them, and obviously men as well, but being able to do it in a way that is comfortable to them. And I feel like when we do that, obviously everything's easier. It feels better. It's easier. And I feel like there's, and I don't know if there's a science behind the fact that the connection to it then is a little bit different.
Yeah, I think that innately when people start learning about my strategy, and in particular when women start learning about my strategy, they resonate with it. Because at the core of what I teach is respecting our relationships. And women don't necessarily do that any better than men. But I do think it is innately in something when they hear me say, you've got to cultivate and nurture and strengthen and deepen those relationships for there to come referrals from it. I think women innately are like, oh, wait, I already like doing that. for the most part, introvert or extrovert, it doesn't really matter. Everybody's usually good at cultivating relationships. And so it's like, oh, wait, I can do that. I think where the rub comes in is the idea that that's how I want to do it versus will I take the time to do the work to do it? And I think it's at that point where you have to decide, this is how I want to show up. I think most of the time when I'm teaching someone the strategies, it's like, I am truly helping them understand, like, this is more about other person. It's not about you. Like, I want you to be comfortable and confident in what you say, because if you're not comfortable and confident, you won't say it. So the language piece, that's really like my secret sauce that I teach my clients. That's really what makes all of it work. So it has to feel natural so that people will say it. But at the end of the day, I think it comes down to, you have to be willing to put the other person in that relationship first before you have any expectations that something's going to come out of it for you. And some people can do that. And some people are like, nope, I just want what I want and I want it today. And I want to train people on how to refer me. And I always tell that when someone says that to me, they're like, I need to train them how to refer me. And I'm like, they're not dogs. They're not interested in being trained. And I think a lot of the times when I talk about referrals and relationships and people, while men and women gravitate towards it, I would say that a lot of women attorneys gravitate towards it as well, because it feels so different from what they've been taught. And it's much more and more natural alignment with how they want to show up and be.
Yeah, I think that's definitely I talk a lot about leadership styles and women not kind of feeling the need to conform to the traditional, you know, leadership style. I have dealt with many that we get on calls and you know, we have people, men, to say like they would deal in this situation this specific way. And I can just see all the women on the call, they look like they're cringing and their eyeballs are like, you know, huge. And they're like, that's not what I would do. That's not what I want to do. I'm not going to speak up to that because everybody else on this call just agreed. And I think that having these types of avenues and ways for them to be able to also see that the things that they're thinking about doing or the ways that they're thinking about wanting to do something actually could work and actually could be beneficial for them. And they actually don't have to follow the rules. I feel like that's an inherent attorney thing. I'm a rule follower. I got to do it exactly by the book. And if that's one thing I can break, I'm like, we break the rules. Like, that's the first thing I talk about. We're going to break all the rules of all the things that you were just taught.
Well, you know, it's funny that you say that, because that's actually one of the reasons why I love working with attorneys. I mean, people are always like, okay, you work in more than just one industry. And I'm like, yeah, but if I had to pick, I have like more than just one favorite. But like, one of the reasons why I love working with attorneys is because they know they're the expert at what they do. They are very aware that they went to law school, they have the experience, they're very confident in what they're doing. And they have like a network of humans that they can go to if they have questions, right? And then they also recognize that what they don't always know. They know when something doesn't feel right, and they know when something isn't how they want to do it. And they're willing to trust another expert to tell them how to do it, as long as they find an expert that shares their philosophy, their beliefs, and shows up the way they want to show up in terms of in the marketplace. And so for me, that's why one of the reasons I love working with attorneys, because I'm like, hey, you've got all those acronyms after your name and all the things you have because you're so smart and brilliant. Now let me show you how to make this work from a referral perspective. And they are very good listeners and they are really good at following the process. They're like, yeah, this doesn't have to feel like sales and I can feel normal and natural, I'll get on board and I'll do it. And they do. I don't always hear from my attorneys like, well, it's probably got to be different for me. I'm like, no, it doesn't. It just works the way it's going to work, because you're going to bring, of course, your style to it. But at the end of the day, it's like they are the best at being like, I'm an expert, so I hire experts. And then following that, as long as they find an expert who teaches in a way that aligns with their philosophy.
So what would you give as far as especially a woman who's navigating kind of both worlds, wanting to, you know, feeling like they know that the old style is not what they want, but not sure kind of how to break into that new way or even cultivating their own new way? What kind of advice would you give them?
Yeah. So I think the number one thing is recognizing and committing to the fact that as long as you're interested in not burning up your relationship capital, you have to be willing to find a different way to still get the outcome you need, which is referrals to clients. So the very first thing I always tell folks to do is you're probably getting referrals now that you're not even paying attention to. Like, you probably have like, oh yeah, I get some referrals, but do you have an idea of exactly how many referrals you get on average in a year? And do you know exactly who's referring to you? those two pieces of data, usually when I can have a business owner, attorney or not, go through and be like, wow, I average 12 or 62, whatever the number is, it doesn't matter. I average, 22 referrals in a year, and I have these 30 people who put their reputation on the line and refer to me on an ongoing basis. I get two referrals on average a year and I have five people who refer to me, right? It doesn't matter the numbers. The ability to see that and to recognize that your business has referrals happening usually is a very empowering process and empowering step for people to go through to be like, wait, I am getting referrals. I am confident in my ability to get them. Now I just need to learn the right process and the right way with the right philosophy to get more of them. But it always starts for me. I always tell folks, like, if you're interested in referrals, start with your low-hanging fruit, and that's who's referring you now. And you don't know who that is until you look through your data and figure out where your clients and prospects coming from, who's referring you now, and then make sure you're committed to taking better care of them. But that data point is critical because it will either light you on fire and you'll be like, let's go, let's get more referrals, I'm already getting some, or it won't. And then you'll have your answer. Maybe you need different ways to generate business for your firm. But for those that are like, I want it to be referrals, it always starts by knowing who's your low-hanging fruit, who's referring you now, and cultivating better relationships with those people.
What if it's either somebody that's new? We get a lot of attorneys that are just breaking out, into their own firm, or this is not something that they've ever decided that was going to be a way that they were going to get. Obviously, we talk about referrals, and we talk about clients that refer, but we also want to talk about other attorneys that refer. For those that haven't started that or haven't broken into referrals yet, where's the place that they should start?
Yeah. So the very first thing I tell my clients is to understand who can refer you. Like, you really need to have a profile in mind of the types of people. It's not just one type, right? Usually the profile has a couple of versions to it of who actually is better suited to refer you. Now, clients can refer you, and that doesn't really, their profile is usually because they're a client, right? And they've experienced working with you. But centers of influence, the whole definition of a center of influence is someone who doesn't do what you do, right? So there's no competitive overlap, but they're very clear on what you do, right? So they know the type of client that you could work with. And it's the that's most important, which is they actually come across your ideal client with some level of regularity. And so honing in on that piece of who is in a position to refer to me and making sure that you are being strategic first and foremost with who you're trying to cultivate into a referral source, that's most important. Because before I ever teach somebody like the what to do and what to say to cultivate somebody to start referring them that's never thought to refer them, we have to make sure we're identifying the right who's. So who should be referring you? Understand who that is. And then I tell folks, go look at your LinkedIn connections. Go look in your phone contacts. Go look in your inbox or your contacts. You probably know more people who fit that profile, that ideal referral source profile, more than you think. And start by just compiling a list of those names of people. That's the best way to get started. It'll quickly reveal to you, I need these three different types of people to refer to me, and I know seven people who do that. Well, you're probably going to need to expand your horizons, probably going to need to meet some more people, whether you do that through networking or joining groups or whatever that looks like. Or you're going to realize, wow, I know like 100 people who fit that bill. Okay, now we have a process that we can follow to start cultivating those people into referral sources. But if you don't know who's best and who's right to refer you, it doesn't really matter any strategy that you try. You're just going to be spraying and praying, and nobody has time for that.
Great. Okay, so looking at this, looking forward into kind of the future of referrals, especially in the legal profession, how do you see this evolving? Because obviously, everything's moving fast. We've got AI and technology and all the things moving fast, and people want to inherently have less amount of work on themselves, more with technology. This part of it doesn't seem a place where that, is something that can take over. Obviously, you got to have relationships to be able to have referrals. So where do you kind of see that going?
Yeah. So the beautiful thing about referrals is that they are evergreen and they will exist in any type of environment with whatever new change has come on the horizon. They exist within a global pandemic. They exist within the rise of AI. They will always exist because it's a fundamental truth of how people make buying decisions. If I have to make a decision and I don't want to waste my money and I don't want to waste time and I want to make sure I'm making the right choice, I'm going to go to somebody else and have them tell me, who did you trust? And so referrals will always exist. And actually, I think, in fact, as AI and all of that continues to grow and we get more and more reliant on how can I be so efficient and how can I like use technology for everything, I think we're going to have an issue that we go through. And if we're not already going through it, where people are craving the opposite, right? They may want to use efficiency, efficient ways of doing things and technology and all the things to do parts of their business. But when they make buying choices and buying decisions, you're going to see them revert back to what would, I guess, be considered like the old school way of doing it, which is like talking to another person about, well, who did you hire? Or how did you go about getting that problem solved? And I think that's only going to get more and more prevalent. So having a process in place to generate referrals is only going to become more and more important for people, because that's how people are going to ultimately want to make buying decisions. Not for like $10, $100, $500 decisions, but multiple $1,000s to $50,000, $100,000, million-dollar decisions. Like, we want to know we're making the right choice and we want somebody else to vouch and verify and to refer us. And that's never going to change. So that's one of the, makes me really happy I picked referrals as my area of expertise, because it doesn't really matter what's happening. We're going to need it. But what I have to do is I have to make sure that my clients understand that there is a time to be more efficient and there is a time to be more focused on engagement. And so we do teach strategies to our clients that sometimes we're leveraging efficiency. Other times we're leveraging engagement, because we need that as business owners ourselves just to get the work done. But we do evolve in a concept that what I teach my clients around mass personalization. It's the ability to make sure that if you're doing the right things based on the framework that we teach, you can do one thing and do it for multiple people and people will still feel it being personalized when it arrives. And that doesn't necessarily mean like in the mailbox, just when the message arrives, like whatever, the video arrives, the whatever it is. So we do leverage technology in what we do, but never, ever at the expense of damaging the relationship and becoming much more of a lack of relationship. And it is a balance and it is a tightrope that we have to walk. But one of the things I always tell my clients is, when I'm teaching you to do something, when I'm sharing how to do something, when I'm writing language for you, I'm never thinking about how you feel when you do it. I know if you're in my program, it's already going to resonate with you. It's already going to feel good and natural. And if not, we're going to modify it. But it's not about how you feel doing it. I'm more concerned about how the receiver feels receiving it, because that's who it matters, right? That's what matters in the process. So we're always keeping our eye on that. But we also recognize when we can leverage things, we're going to leverage things. But people always say, Stacey, do you think you'll ever get to the place where you tell folks they don't have to handwrite their thank you notes? And I'm like, no, I think I'll be dead and buried long before that is able to ever be something you can get away with. So there are some things we do that are just old fashioned, and that's okay. But it's, I think, what's needed. But I heard someone say the other day, we're in a trust recession. So,
oh my, I've heard that like the last 2 weeks. Every email I get, everything I see is saying that.
Yeah. And a trust recession is solved, right, by a lot of things, right? It's not just solved by referrals. But if I have a lack of trust and then I go to make a decision, you better bet I'm going to make sure that I'm making that decision. And it's probably based on other people who've told me that they made the same decision and used the same person. And that's one way that you can overcome a trust recession, is making sure you're really locked and loaded and developing the right relationships, nurturing those relationships to generate referrals.
Yeah, I actually, you know, the standard old commercials for attorneys, you know, those are never, I don't feel like they'll probably ever go away either. So I'm listening to one the other day, and the literal conversation in there was that we aren't using AI to have conversations with you. You're actually talking to a real human. It's the first time I've actually heard that in an attorney's commercial, because right now it's so, we're all so AI forward and we're all talking about all of these things and how attorneys want to make sure that they adopt the technology and use it in the way that, you know, works for them. But when I heard that, I was like, I still, like, that was the thing that kind of clicked for me, in the sense of, people still do want and need some of that. Now, don't get me wrong. I look at like millennials, and my son is one of them, that they just want to text everything. They don't want to call anyone. They don't want to talk to anyone ever, ever, ever. Just send me everything through text. But I think that that missing piece of that still exists. There is some point in time where that doesn't work, from attorneys to doctors. I mean, you wouldn't want to, you know, have an issue with your health and be like, just text me. Have AI send it to me. I mean, I think there's a need for the relationship still between clients. And I think I really believe that, you know, your referrals is definitely something that will never go away. It could never go away because that's inherently how what I think of. If I need an attorney, if I need a specialist, the first thing I don't do is normally Google it. The first thing I do is ask someone first, do they know someone? And if they don't, then that would be the next step.
Yeah. Like, we don't want to make blind decisions. And one way to avoid making blind hiring or purchasing decisions, right, is having somebody else tell us, oh yeah, that was a great experience for me. Here's what you can expect, and refer you in.
So normally I love to end these conversations with, you know, obviously something really powerful and strategic to implement, but to really take in. I think for this conversation might not so much be an implementation, but really a thought on thinking about referrals, thinking about what this looks like, feels like, means, because the biggest thing that I got just from what you've said is that the hardest thing to think about is that the referral isn't about you. It's about the person that's being referred. And that's not inherently the first thing I think about. I think it's a business. You're referring me business. It's a business transaction between you, me, you know, the people referring, and quite honestly, totally forgot about the person that you're referring to. So I think that's a huge part of this. But I think coming from that and coming from, you know, the most powerful thing that we could leave women especially, but everyone listening to this, on the approach of this, on what direction to take.
Yeah. So here's the one thing I always want people to understand about referrals, based on everything that we've talked about in this conversation, is if you do quality work, you deserve referrals. Like, that should never be something that you should ever doubt. Now, I mean, if you do crappy work, you probably don't deserve them. But let's just make the assumption all the listeners here are doing amazing quality work. That doesn't mean everything goes perfectly, right? But you are doing great work. Then you absolutely deserve referrals. But you're not owed them. And you can't walk around and you can't behave in a way that indicates that you think you are owed them. And the truth is, what you really need to be doing is getting to work on developing your relationships because you deserve them, but recognizing that you're not owed them. And so there's some work to do to be able to cultivate the people who are going to consistently refer you. Because when my clients take their referrals and they double them or triple them and sometimes even quadruple them in 1 year based on what they used to average, it's because they're doing the work. They didn't just all of a sudden magically start receiving referrals. They've always deserved them. Like, I have an attorney that averaged 12 referrals before working with me. First year got 40. Next year got 50, all the way up to 85 in a year. And the reality is always, she always deserved all those, always. But she wasn't owed them. So she had to do the work to nurture the relationships to receive them. And that's the thing people need to recognize, is that this isn't a snap your fingers. This isn't a silver bullet. This is not a get rich quick. This is relationships. This is humans. But it's knowing how to do it, how to leverage the science, and how to build the right relationship with the right language.
I think that's the biggest thing too. I think for me, I would say that doing the work sometimes is the hardest part. It's, you know, we hear a lot, I can't add another thing to my plate. I can't do another thing. Don't give me another thing. You know, what's the easiest way to do this? And I have to tell people all the time, there is no easy way. I don't have an easy button for you. I don't have a magic wand where all the things that need to be done to make this result happen, it's just going to happen. So number one, I think, yes, being willing to accept that you have work to do and that there is work that needs to be done to create, you know, referrals to create this process, I think is number one. Number two, I think what you said about understanding, and I think obviously a mindset is a lot, but understanding that you deserve them, because I think that's probably something that people don't think about either. Like, just owning that I deserve these, I'm willing to do the work to create these. And that's where we start, because I think that's a missing piece too. Like, the expectation versus a deserve. I deserve it because I'm great at what I do.
Yep, absolutely. I think first you have to know you deserve them, and then you have to be willing to do the work to receive them and recognize where they come from. And that is a process. And understanding that no matter anything good in life usually comes because there's going to be some work involved. So
I love it. Perfect. I appreciate you, Stacey. We will include the links for you to be able to connect with Stacey in the show notes. So if you want to reach out to her, you can. If there is anything that you need, any questions that you have, obviously feel free to let us know. We can reach out to her as well. But I appreciate you coming on. This is a great conversation. And I think there's going to be a lot of questions from this. This is not a conversation that many, you know, the attorneys in the circle that we have enough and have an understanding of the process. So I appreciate you coming on.
Yeah, it was my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to The Law Entrepreneur. If you found value in the show, please rate, review, and subscribe on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you're listening. And don't forget to share the episode with a friend. It could help transform their life. To get access to a treasure trove of exclusive free resources for lawyers, go to joinlawyerclub.com. Again, that's joinlawyerclub.com. We'll see you on the next episode.